All right, if you're this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to read a couple of verses there. And we're going to continue this morning with our studies about certain doctrines that are related to the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ, what accomplished at the cross in our behalf. I mentioned to you last week that we're going to be, we talked about redemption. This week, justification. And next week, we'll be talking about atonement. And today, we're going to talk about justification, the doctrine of justification. It's a wonderful doctrine. And like I say, all of these doctrines, redemption, justification, atonement, are all very closely related, but they're all very significant within themselves. And so, we want to look today at justification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now, these verses are very significant because they point to the fact that justification and our acceptance to the Lord is not dependent upon what we do. Paul lists a lot of things about those that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, "Such were some of you, but you are washed." In other words, he didn't say, "Such were some of you, but you quit doing these things," or "you improved your life." He simply says, "Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." So what does it mean to be justified? Well, look over in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 28, I believe it is. Romans 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Back in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, Romans 5, verse 1, the Bible says there, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when we studied last week about redemption, we saw that redemption, the doctrine of redemption had its basis in the Old Testament system of redeeming things. We read about where people were redeemed, land could be redeemed. It had to do with purchasing something back that was originally yours but had been lost, to buy back or to loose by making a payment. A picture of that would be slavery, where a person would be sold unto a master. And that master would, someone would come along and pay the price to purchase that servant and then set him free. And that's the picture of redemption. Paul said that we were sold under sin. And we've been redeemed by His blood. Redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that redemption, we have forgiveness of sins, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Now, justification, the word justify really is, it has to do with a legal standing, if you will. The same word that where we get justify and justification, justice, the legal system of justice. It has to do with God declaring us just. When we talk about, therefore, being justified by faith, it has to do with us being declared just before God, even though within ourselves we know that we are guilty. As a matter of fact, back in Romans chapter 3, In verse 19, the Bible says, we know that what things were soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. We were, as it were, put on trial in Adam, and we were found guilty. We are spoken of in the Bible, in Paul's epistles, as being enemies of God. We're spoken of as being strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But God Almighty, through His Son Jesus Christ, has declared us just, justified, and that means God sees us just as though we had never sinned. Justification has to do with something that God did in our behalf. And that's what Paul says there in Romans chapter 5. Now, the first thing I want to look at is how is it that we are justified? You see, people today are doing many things in their flesh in order to try to be justified. Like in redemption, we talked about those things. Well, the Bible is clear in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. First of all, it says we are justified by faith. Also, we're going to look at the fact that we are justified by grace. And also, he says we're justified by His blood. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look back in Romans chapter 3 again, in verse 28, or verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, here's the thing, folks, that we have to separate. We talk about all the time how that sin is really not the issue in salvation. Because the Bible said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. But who is it that is just? You see, not everybody is justified. He paid the price for the sins of the whole world. He died for all. But who is it he says are justified? He said, those that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You see, forgiveness of sins is what Christ accomplished at Calvary. And for those who receive that free gift, their sins already being forgiven, the moment they believe the gospel, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are justified, they are redeemed, they are purchased, they are placed into the body of Christ. All of those things take place. But it is impossible to be justified apart from faith. Your works can't do it. You can't do it within your own ability. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, if you look over in Galatians chapter 2, in Galatians chapter 2, there are several verses in the Bible that talk about justification in relation to the faith of Christ. And sometimes, I've heard people say, and I think wrongly so, that our faith is never the issue, it's only the faith of Christ. Well, I believe when he says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God, it would tie back to Romans chapter 3, verse 28, he that believeth are justified. Now, the faith of Christ is of utmost importance. But don't ever be mistaken, folks. Your faith is important. What you believe, faith is what you believe. And if you're just waiting around for God to give you some kind of epiphany that you're saved or that you were predestined before the foundation of the world and chosen, and one day you wake up and God reveals to you you're saved, you're sadly mistaken. And that's what some people teach. You're justified whenever you trust in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. And what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary is what the faith of Christ is all about. Look there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, justification then is mentioned in a verse there several times. We're not justified by the works of the law, but how? By the faith of Jesus Christ. But he says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Well, then if you didn't believe in what he did, you wouldn't be justified by the faith of Christ. It would be in vain. The faith of Christ, I believe, and I know there's debate over this issue, but I believe with all of my heart, after studying the scriptures and so forth, that the faith of Christ has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ went to Calvary by faith, believing that if God allowed him to die on that cross, which he knew he would, that God would also raise him up. He prayed in the garden. He said, Father, restore unto me the glory that I had with you from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ stepped down from heaven's glory, took upon himself the form of a man, became man, God manifest in the flesh, and he went to that cross knowing that God was going to raise him up. That's the faith of Christ. Jesus Christ operated on the basis of what God said and what God did. There's a lot of verses in relation to that. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by what? The faith of Him. The faith of Him. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then as we read back there in Romans chapter 3, in verse 21, there's also a reference there in Romans 3, verse 21, the Bible says, but now, not in time past, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You see, folks, over and over and over again, that word belief, believing, is used. Therefore, we are justified by faith. That is, people say, well, how do you know certain things? Well, there are certain things we don't know. We accept those things by faith. I chose one night to quit trusting in what I had done, walking down the aisle, being baptized, and I chose that night to junk all of that and trust in what Jesus Christ did for me at Calvary. They say, well, that's putting too much emphasis on you. No, it's not. Jesus Christ did all the work. All I did was simply acknowledge it and accept it. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, belief is a work. No, belief is not a work. As a matter of fact, belief is about the only thing you can do without doing anything. You just believe it, you receive it. It's no work involved in that. That's what faith is. It's what we believe. Therefore, we are justified by faith. Now, Paul also says here in Romans chapter 3, if you look there in let's just start again in verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now this verse ties together these two doctrines that we've talked about these last 2 weeks. He says there in verse 24, we are justified freely. How? By His grace. In other words, that tells us, it clears up any issue, that our believing, our faith for justification is not a work. He said we're justified freely. How? By His grace. It is the unmerited favor of God that bestows upon us this doctrine, this picture of being justified, justification without the deeds of the law, freely, freely by His grace. You can't have grace, folks, if it's not free. Grace is God's unmerited favor. And the moment anybody does anything in order to try to merit it, it no longer remains grace. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, if by grace it is no more of works. No more works. No work involved, simply by grace. Now, notice what he says there. Being justified freely, but it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That tells us something. The redemption had to occur before we could be justified. We were redeemed by the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us at Calvary. In the shedding of that blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no forgiveness apart from the blood of Christ. Because our sins have been paid for by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, God could then justify us on the basis of His grace, and on the basis of the payment that Christ made for us at Calvary. You see, the payment first had to be made. Justification, as I used the illustration a moment ago. We were talking this morning back there about the book of Philemon. Philemon is a picture of God's grace. And it's typified there in the Apostle Paul interceding for the slave Onesimus, who belonged to Philemon. Onesimus had escaped from Philemon and was no doubt in jail with the Apostle Paul, and Paul led him to the Lord. Paul won him to Christ. And Paul writes this letter back and beseeches Philemon to accept Onesimus back, and he says, whatever he owes you, I will pay. You see, there would have to be a payment in order for him to be received. He would not be just in doing that if the payment was not made. He could, in other words, God would not be just in forgiving our sins unless the sins had been paid for. In real life situations, back in the years of slavery, there were slaves and they were purchased and they were owned. And when those slaves were purchased, someone could have come along and paid a price and purchased that slave from an owner and said, you're free to go. The payment was redemption. They were just in doing so by the payment made through redemption. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and we are justified by being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Look in Romans chapter 4, in verse 4. He says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that believeth not, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Justifying the ungodly. What a picture that is. Justification extends to every individual who will believe and receive the truth of the gospel. Matters not how sinful they are, how bad they are, how bad they've been, or how bad they're going to be. Justification, a person is justified by the blood of Jesus Christ when they believe, and his faith then is counted for righteousness. Look over in Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3. In verse 3, Paul says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us," notice the word, "which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You see, folks, a person could never get to heaven and live in the presence of God if they were not justified. God can't tolerate sin. God can't live in the presence of sin. Sin can't even be there where He is. And so we were justified by His grace. What's the purpose? That we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by faith. Justified by His grace, and He says we are justified freely. Look, if you will, back in Romans again, in Romans chapter 5. The third thing we see about this justification, not only is it by faith and by grace, but it is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there again, it ties itself right back to redemption. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Now, here's the thing. We said redemption, therefore being redeemed by the blood, we have forgiveness of sins. And here Paul says, much more than being now justified by His blood. There again, I just wanted to read the verses because it ties it all back to the justification that comes through the redemptive work that Jesus Christ did. But there's another thing here. Look back in chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 25. Well, really we need to get up, I guess, further. Look in verse 21. "And being fully persuaded that what He had promised He was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." He's talking about the imputation of righteousness to Abraham. Verse 23, "Now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." Now, in that particular instance, it's apparent that God raised Him up, didn't it? He raised up Jesus our Lord. But notice what He says in verse 25. "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Now, why does He say there He was raised again? Well, hold on here and look back in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, a wonderful passage. If you want to read a passage that describes what Israel's expectation of of Christ's coming was, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 67 through the verse 80, is a great place to read. It'll give you a perfect picture of what Israel's expectation was at Christ's first coming. It's spoken by the father of John the Baptist. In verse 67, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, if he's filled with the Holy Ghost and is prophesying, then these obviously, as all of them are the words of God. Verse 68, blessed be the God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Look there in verse 69. He raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. If you read on down the rest of the passage, you'll find there's not one word mentioned about the death, burial, and resurrection. Israel's expectation at the first coming of Jesus Christ was that he would come and establish a kingdom upon this earth. Say, well, didn't they understand about the sufferings? Yes, there was some understanding, but the Bible is clear that God blinded their minds during that time so that he would be crucified and provide the redemptive work that needed to be done. But the point I'm making is that as far as they were concerned, when Jesus Christ came, God had raised up a horn of salvation to the nation Israel. But what did they do? They rejected him and they put him to death. So that which God raised up to be the horn of salvation, Paul said he was raised again for our justification. You see, the salvation that he would provide to the nation Israel by his first coming would not have been extended to those Gentiles who would not bless Israel and were strangers from the covenants of promise, like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. So people like you and I would not have been saved simply on the basis of that first coming, the raising up of Christ as a Messiah, but we are saved by that second raising up when he's raised again for our justification, which included all men without exception, without distinction. All men can be saved. All men can be justified. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, he died for our sins. He paid for them there at Calvary. But you realize something, folks? People that deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ are denying the fact that we're justified. Why is that? Because the payment was made by the death on the cross. The payment was guaranteed by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, in effect, your sins have been forgiven. That's what Paul's talking about in Romans 5:10, where he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What life is he talking about? The resurrection life. Not the life that he lived for those 33 years. He was raised again for our justification. Look back, if you will, to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And notice the scope, how the scope of this justification changes through the message given to the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 13, in early in the chapter, in verse 14, Paul is in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It says in verse 14, when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Syria and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Now, skip on over. It's a lengthy message there. You get down to verse 38. He said, well, in verse, look in verse 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Now that's a very important verse in relation to what Paul's fixing to say. He said, listen, David, that you believed in, you're believing in the seed of David, after he served his generation by the will of God, he fell on sleep, he died, was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Now notice the next statement. Be it known unto you, therefore. What is he saying? Why does he say therefore? Because he raised him from the dead, he says. Be it known unto you, therefore, in light of the fact that he raised him from the dead, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are what? Justified from all things from which he cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Folks, that is a pivotal verse right there in relation to what was accomplished at Calvary in our behalf. Because Paul makes a statement that is contradictory to what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew 12, Jesus said, all sin, all manner of sin shall be forgiven you, but the sin of blasphemy shall not be forgiven you in this world nor in the world to come. You know what Israel did in chapter 7? They committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God. The nation Israel could not be saved because they had committed that unpardonable sin. Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, and wow, all of a sudden, we got some good news. You that rejected him, you that have blasphemed, now you can be justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Wouldn't you say that's some good news? Wouldn't you? If you were locked up in prison for something you had committed, some sin you had committed, or some crime you had committed, and they said, listen, there is no payment that can be made. You have a sentence of life, a sentence of death, because under the law, there is no provision for the crime that you committed to be paid for. Therefore, you're going to have to suffer the consequences yourself. And all of a sudden, somebody comes in there and says, listen, I've received some good news. And the good news is that there has been a new dispensation. There's been a change in God's dealing. There's been a change in the judicial system. And no longer are you being judged by the law. That crime you committed is forgiven. And not only that crime, but you are justified from all things from which you there was no justification before. You expect you'd be a little bit happy? I'd think so. Well, folks, that's exactly the attitude people ought to have today. Being justified by His grace. They ought not be resisting this wonderful truth of justification by grace through faith. They ought to be embracing that truth. Because it's wonderful that by this man, and I love the way that it's phrased there, or through this man, he said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the man Christ Jesus, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified. You've been put on trial and you've been found innocent because you've been justified through his blood. Oh, you were guilty. We all were guilty. But Jesus Christ justified us by his grace, by faith. We now have a perfect standing with God Almighty. And it is extended to all men. Justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 3 again. In Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3. Read this verse again. He says in verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." Well, then where does this justification come from? On the one hand, you've got the whole world guilty before God. Well, let me ask you, if the whole world is guilty before God, who's the only one that can justify you? It'd have to be God, wouldn't it? After all, it's against Him that we have sinned. Matter of fact, hold on here and flip back to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms 51. Psalms 51, verse 1. Wonderful Psalm of David, after he had sinned. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Now notice, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Who had he sinned against? God Almighty. Look back there in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, the whole world, verse 19, the last part, all the world may become guilty before God. And then verse 20, what a wonderful verse. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of God. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." You see, folks, our forgiveness, our redemption, our justification is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4:5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Well, who is it that justifieth? It is God that justifies. You see, people might look at you and consider you totally worthless, without value. But in the eyes of God, every saint is of great value. He loved us so much that He gave Himself for us. He justified us freely by His grace. It's by His faith and it's by His blood. And the scope extends to all men and it covers all sin. Therefore, today, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are justified. You know what that means? God sees you as though you had never sinned. Now, I personally don't believe for a moment that that truth would cause a person to want to go out and commit sin. But that is generally what is said. How could us understanding that Christ became sin for us and justified us freely by His grace, how could that ever motivate anybody to want to commit sin, the very things that Christ died for? It doesn't do it, folks. People that say that are simply motivated by the desires of their flesh. Salvation is by grace through faith, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He was raised again for our justification. Therefore, we are justified by faith. We are justified by His grace. And we're justified by His blood. And all men are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. The question is, are you one of those that have believed? He said, "It's unto all that believeth." Have you ever believed the gospel and trusted in that and that alone? You see, it's one thing to believe the gospel with a head knowledge and then say, "Okay, I believe He did it." But you're still depending on something that you did in time past or maybe even now. If that's the case this morning, Trust what He did and that alone. Receive the free gift of salvation and God will save you. Count you as though you had never sinned and justify a poor, worthless, rotten sinner and make him fit to live in the presence of God for all eternity. Would you stand with me for prayer?